Today's share is Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Ches. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Kuf Yud Ches, Amar Aleph, at the top of Amar at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah, Goizel Tzchaveroi, if somebody steals from someone else, Oy Shehilvim Imenu, or he borrowed from him money, Oy Shehifked Loi B'Yishuv, or he asked him to watch something for him in an inhabited area, lo yachsle b'midbar. In all these cases, teaches us the Mishnah that he should not return it to him in the desert. He should not return it to him when he finds himself in a place that he can't adequately watch what he's returning to him. But when it was borrowed, lent, or was asked to be washed, it was said explicitly, I'm nas lotzeis b'midbar, I'm going to go with this, I'm going to take it out to the midbar. So it's understood that that's where he may find him. So there aloch is yachsle b'midbar. So Rashi explains that if I owe somebody money and I meet this person whom I owe money, or I'm watching something for somebody else, and I meet the person whom I'm watching something for in the midbar, and I tell this person, here, I'm prepared to return what I owe you, I'm prepared to return what I'm watching on your behalf, the Mishnah is teaching us, you could refuse. And not only can you refuse, says the Meiri, because you could say, this is not a place where I could properly watch what I'm being given. But the Meiri says, if somehow I could force you to take it, the halacha will tell us that the person who returned it will still be held responsible. And the way the Rishonim go on to explain is that what the Mishnah really means to teach us is that it's understood, implicit, when I borrowed it, that I'm going to pay back to you in a place where you could properly watch it. And if I'm not giving it back to you in such a place, then I haven't returned it properly. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that even though, as we just learned, I do not have the right to return it to you in a makom, as we just explained, she'ena mishtamer, in a place where it won't be properly watched, as much as I don't have a right to return it to you, makom she'ena mishtamer, doesn't mean that if I borrowed money from you in the city, and I'm returning it to you in the city, I have to return it to you in the exact spot where I borrowed it. As if I borrowed it in the city, and I return it in the city, that will be acceptable. Another point that the Rama wants to make is that if I borrowed money from you in a time where holding on to money is safe, and now I decide to return on to you in a time where even in the city it's hard, it's dangerous to hold on to money, it's a dangerous time, you could refuse to take the money in such circumstances. If says the Rambam, that I want to return it to you, and based on the principles learned taught in our Mishnah, you're refusing to accept it. But I am going overseas. So now what am I to do? I'm going overseas. I don't want to take your object. I don't want to take your money with me overseas. On the other hand, you're refusing with a halachically acceptable explanation not to take what I want to give you back. What am I to do? So the Rambam says, I should take it to Bezdin. Moreover, says the Arzurua, a chiddush of the Arzurua, let's say it's really dangerous time, and the reason that both you and I, that means the borrower and the lender, the malv and the loiva, both of us find ourselves in the midbar, is because we had to run away from where we live. So as much as I'm not in a makom mishtamer, you're also not a makom mishtamer, because that's the way everybody has run. The Azarua suggests that I could force you under those circumstances to take it back. The Melacha Shloima explains, how do we understand the sequence of Mishnayis? So he explains that since we've been learning so many times, and I'm Masechta, that we could say, HaRei Shel Cholof Anecha, the case, the most common case that we learned in our Masechta was that chametz after Pesach, even though halachically it's worthless, because chametz shavu after Pesach is osu b'hanor, I still have the right to say harei shelchol afanechom. So now our Mishnah is coming to qualify under what circumstances can I say harei shelchol afanechom, and when can I not say harei shelchol afanechom. Begins the Gemara v'Raminu. The Braisa teaches us melva mishtalemes b'chamakoyim, that if I want to return money that I borrowed from you, I can give it back to you wherever I want, even in the midbar. Aveda ubikodon. But if I found your lost object, if you ask me to watch something, emishtalmim, I can't give it back to you elva mekaimam, in the same type of place, given the explanation that we just gave, in the same type of place as where it was found or where it was given as a bekadim. So the Pnei Yeshua and the many Rishonim and Achronim try to understand why is there a difference between Aveda Bekadim versus a milva. So some explain, when I borrow money from you, the expectation of the malva, the concern of the malva, is that he may not be getting back his money. And if Baruch Hashem, the loiva approaches the malva and is prepared to return the money, that what the malva's thinking is wherever I get the money, is I'm happy. And since I'm happy, and like the Pnei Yeshua says, it's really to the benefit of the malva that he's going to be able to get back his money and not anymore be concerned that he's not going to get back his money. And therefore, the halach is that wherever, whenever I return it, it'll be satisfactory. Whereas, when we speak about halacha of aveda b'kadin, so a person who lost something or a person who was asked to watch something, that level of expectation doesn't exist, and therefore the person could say, "I don't want to get in such a place." I'm rabbi, but again, our Mishnah said that you can't give it back wherever it is, and here it says you can. Answers the Gemara, "I'm rabbi hachkama." This is the way to understand the brisa. Malva nitma l'tava, if I owe you money, you have a right to demand payment, b'chol makom, anywhere where you find me and the time for paying has come, you could demand payment. Aveda b'kadin, lo nitma l'tava, elba makomam. It's unreasonable for you to expect that if we're not at home, that I should be carrying your b'kadin, and I should be carrying your aveda, and the only expectation is that I have it at home, and that's where you could come to me to ask me, please give it back. But we learned in the Mishnah that when I borrowed the money, it was said, I'm nas lotzeis b'midbar. So the Pasha Pshat is that they stipulated that I could return it to you anywhere. So ask the Gemara if that was the clear stipulation, pshita. If we both stipulated and agreed that I can return it to you anywhere, what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara Leitzricha. The way to understand the Mishnah is like this. The person who asked me to watch his object said to me, please hold on to this object. Because he said, you know why I'm asking you to watch it? Because I'm going out to the Midbar. And I said, I who you asked to watch it, say to you, I also want to go out to the midbar. And what he meant to say was, he's saying to him, well, we're both going to end up finding each other in the same place because we're both traveling to the midbar. And we're saying to him, because we're going to end up being in the same place, I'm saying, I'm going to be able to give it back to you. So it wasn't an explicit stipulation that I could give it back to you to Midbar. The Mishnah is teaching us that this implicit stipulation is also considered a stipulation. Says the Mishnah, if somebody comes over and says to somebody else that I stole from you, you lent me money or I have you b'kadin. And I'm not quite certain if I returned it to you. So the halacha is, in all these cases, chayv l'shalom. So the Gemara is going to explain that certainly if you're demanding payment and I'm not able to say that I paid you and you say for sure I didn't pay you, as we're going to learn in a moment, that's the case of Bari Vashema, Bari Adav, and I have to return it. But even in a case, the Chiddush of the Mishnah, say to Rishonim, is where I don't know if I paid you back or not, and you're not coming to ask me if for the money, the halacha seems to be that lots of day shemayim to do what's right, I should give it back to you. Because in these cases, I knew for certain that I at one point owed you money. Whereas in the next case, avim amaloi, if I don't know altogether if gezalticha, if I stole something from you, im avisani, if you lent me money, im avkati etzli, if you ever left something in my possession, the halacha is that potem milshalim. And the Melech Shlomo makes an important point, that the Mishnah, to be understood, the way to understand the Mishnah is in a loizu afsu. Because if in the case of gezal ticha, so there I have to return it. We're always going to take the side that I should return it because I did an aveira. I stole something from you. Hilvisani, I didn't do anything wrong in borrowing. And still, if I'm not certain, the Mishnah says that I should return it to you. And even in the case of Bikadin, where I actually did you a favor that I was watching your object, still I have an obligation to return it, and if I can't be certain that I returned it, I should pay it back. Says the Gemara Itmar, we learn, money li biyotcha. Somebody comes up to me and says, you owe me money. V'alo ama any day, and I respond, I just don't know if I owe you money. Rav Huna Rav Yehuda Amri Chayiv, I have to pay back. Rav Nachman Rav Yochan Amar Potter, I don't have to pay back, but the way all the Rishonim point out is that I have to, and this is a case that I have to make a shuas hesis that truly any idea, I don't know if I owe you back or not. And the Gemara explains, Rav Huna Rav Yehuda Amri Chayiv, Bari V'Shema, V'Bari Adav. This is a case of Bari V'Shema. Whenever you have a case of Bari V'Shema, the Halacha tells us that we go with the Bari, that we follow the one that has the certain claim. Rav Nachman, Rav Yaichar, Amri Potter, Uki V'Mani B'Cheskos Mari, we leave the money in its original place, and since it was originally by me, since I'm holding onto the money, that's why I keep it. So in explaining Bari V'Shema, Bari Adav, the Achroinim give a number of explanations. Bnei Yeshua explains that we don't assume that people say or do the wrong thing. So if you're saying for certain I owe you money, and I can't counter claim that that's not true, we assume that people say the truth, and I truly owe you the money. The Shari Yosher of Shimon Shkop Sitzal takes the approach that the way to learn this Gemara, the way is with a Taina. In other words, the Torah Kedoshah gives a person, as he enters into a negotiation, a right to make claims. And it's a very simple explanation. The claim of a person who's certain is stronger than a claim of a person who's uncertain. That's why that taina will prevail. The Dvar Shalom says that a very big part of learning is what to do in a case of a suffix, what to do in a case of a doubt. What the Dvar Shalom says is that when you have a situation of Bari V'Shema, it's not considered a doubt. There's no suffix. The person who's certain is certain, and the other one is not. And therefore, we follow the one that's certain. But Tosfos points out, and this is a principle that we've learned many times, that even though we say Bari V'Shema, Bari Adif, the halacha is that's only where it's a Bari, where it's a good Bari and a weak Shema. Our Gemara, where you're certain I owe you the money, and I'm just not certain. But a case where it's a weak Bari and a strong Shema, in such a case, then we're not convinced that there is no halacha of Bari V'Shema, Bari Adif. Tanan, says the Gemara, we leave the money where it is. So since I'm holding on to the money, and I'm not sure that I still owe you the money, you can't make me pay you money unless I'm certain that I owe you the money. Otherwise, we follow the Chazaka. Tanan, asked the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Avlam Amaloi, if I say to you, Eni Yideim Halvisani, I'm not quite certain if I borrowed money from you, the Loch is Potter, I wouldn't have to pay. Asked the Gemara, Hechadami, exactly, let's analyze the case of the Mishnah. Ilem de Loikotavale, it was speaking to a case where you're not asking me for the money altogether. So if that's the case, we're going to explain that the Reish Nami Loikotavale, the Mishnah has to be consistent. So if the Seif is talking about a case where you're not making a claim, we're going to have to explain that the Reish is also talking about a case where you're not making a claim. And my Chayiv, we just explained the entire reason why I have to pay in the ratio is because Bari Vashem and Bari Adif. But Bari Vashem and Bari Adif is only applicable if you're making a claim. Here, you're not making a claim. Ella, how do we have to explain the ratio? The Katavale, that you're asking me for the money. And since you're asking me for the money, it becomes a situation of Bari Vashem. Viktani Sefer, yet we're learning in the Sefer that since I'm not certain, Patam Mashalim, says the Gemara, Loi. We're going to explain the Mishnah is referring to a case where you're not making a claim. For Reisha, in the case of the Reisha, where I am going to pay, even though you never asked for the money, as we explained when we learned the Reisha, it's speaking about a case, but I don't want to hold on to something that doesn't belong to me, and therefore I should pay you back. You say I owe you money. My response is, I just don't know. That if I want to do what's right, I should return it to you. Says the Mishnah, if somebody stole a sheep, and he puts it back without the owner being aware that he gave it back, and then that sheep dies, or was stolen, he has to let him know, he still will be held responsible. I'm not off the hook unless I let you know that I paid you back. Lo yado abalim, but says the Mishnah, if the person from whom I stole never knew, lo begin nevasa lo bechazrasoi, not that I stole it and not that I returned it, umanas atzloin, and then the owner counts a sheep, and when he counts a sheep, he sees the shleimahi, he sees that he has all the sheep in perfect shape, then Potter, I'm off the hook. Amar Rav says, Rav, that there are many different cases and halachas. Says Rav, Ladas, if I stole a sheep that and the owner is aware that the sheep was stolen, the animal was stolen, Tzarch Das. So I have to notify you that I have to notify you that I returned it to you. That means Posh Pshat, if I stole something from you, I have to make you aware that it's returned. And until you're aware that's returned, it's not considered that I returned it. Because Rashi explains that since the owner of this animal was aware of the stealing, the Hashava is not considered an act of Hashava without the owner knowing that it was returned. The Rashba says the reason for this is that since the owner knew it was stolen, the owner will never be certain that everything was given back until it's given back to him and he knows that it was given back to him. The Ravid has a different approach. He says that this is a knas, that we have to give it back. And not only does the Torah say v'heshev as a gzela, but we have to give it back l'das, shloi l'das. But if the owner was never aware that it was stolen, minyan, that the owner, and then I return it, and the owner counts the sheep, and he sees that he has the number that he's supposed to have, and they're all in good shape, poiter. V'chi tani, and when we learned the Mishnah that said, umanas atzoyim v'hi shleim v'potter, that just counting will be satisfactory is going back to the case of the Sefer where he wasn't aware that it was ever stolen. That's the opinion of Rav. Shmuel Amar, says the Gemara, the opinion of Shmuel is, Bein Ladas, Bein Shloi Ladas, whether the owner was aware or not aware, Poiter, the minyan poiter, giving it back and the owner know that all of his animals are intact, is good enough. V'chi tana, when Mishnah said, manav yishleim poter, it's talking in all cases. Even in the Reisha, when the Mishnah was aware that I stole it. Says the Rav Yochanan Amar, Ladas, if it was stolen with the owner's knowledge, minyan, and then the owner counts it, and he sees that everything is the way it was, poiter. Shaloi Ladas, if the owner wasn't aware, then the halacha will be a filling minyan, I don't have to do anything. V'chi tanu, and therefore when the Mishnah said, Umanas atzayin v'shleima is poiter, only on the Reisha, because the owner was aware that it was stolen. But if the owner was not aware that it was stolen, then just giving it back without him counting his animal even would be adequate. Rav Chisda Amar, Ladas, when the owner was aware, minyan poiter, his counting and knowing is good enough. So Shloi Ladas, when he wasn't aware, there Rav Chisda says Tzorch Das, and of course everything will be explained. V'chi Tanu, and if he counts and he sees that he has what he's supposed to have, it's only going on the Reisha, where he was aware of a Geneva. And therefore now he sees that everything is fine, that will be good enough. But if he was never aware of the Geneva, that would not be good enough. So the Gemara goes in to explain, the Gemara tries to explain Rav Chisda's opinion. Why, when the Geneva was Shaloi Ladas, are we stricter? Are we more lenient? On the contrary, why by Shloi Ladas are we stricter than by Ladas? It says the Gemara, Amarava, my Tam Rav Chisda. How do we understand Rav Chisda's opinion? Says the Gemara, Hoil for Antre Nagre Briosa. Once I stole the animal became accustomed, says Rav Chisda, to leave its place. Since the animal became accustomed to leave its place, so if the owner is aware of this habit of the animal, so the owner knows to watch this animal. But this animal, since the owner was never aware that it was stolen, he doesn't know that this is the animal that became accustomed to not be where it's supposed to be. And therefore, he doesn't watch it properly. And therefore, since he doesn't watch it, since even though it was returned, it's not considered that he's going to be able to watch it properly. And that's why the ganef will be chayiv until the owner becomes completely aware of what's going on here. Says the Gemara that me Amar Rava Hachi, asked the Gemara, does Rava indeed hold this way? Vava Rava, hi man the chazil chaveri. If somebody sees somebody else, the agvi imram edra the day, that he picked up a sheep from a herd with the intention of stealing it. Vrama by koloi, and he raised his voice, Vishaje, and the ganef, seeing that I caught him, drops the animal. Vlayoda, ihadre loy hadre, and the owner is not aware at all what happened. Umeis anignav, and the animal dies or stolen. Chay bechriusoy. The ganef is still responsible. My love isn't in a case. Afgav the money, even in a case that the owner counted the sheep and he sees he has all the sheep. Not like Rav Chisda holds that by gneiv ladas minyan is good enough. Says the Gemara loy. It's talking about a case, the loy money, that the owner never counted again. Ask the Gemara, and understanding Rav's opinion. Omiyam Rav Hachi, is it indeed the opinion of Rav that when you stole something, shloy ladas, you have to have das when you return it? Vam Rav, hechzir la'eder sheish shebemidbar, if somebody stole an animal and he gave it back, just returned it to the sheep as they are in the midbar, yotza. So we see that you don't have to have das. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chana bar Abba, Maida Rav bar Kusay. Rav will agree that it, where an animal is very identifiable, in a case where it's very identifiable, giving it back is enough, whether it was Ladas or not Ladas. We had this big machloikus, and the Gemara wants to suggest that the machloikus we learned is really connected to machloikus tanoim. Lemeke tanoim. I got it from an eder. If somebody steals a sheep, the selim and a kiss, or he steals a coin from somebody's pocket, l'makom shagonav yachzer. From where he stole it, she returned it, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rekiva's opinion is that no, to fulfill the obligation of the heshev esegzela, the halacha requires tzorach das balam. So says the Gemara Savrua, the assumption was, the kulama, that everybody is in agreement with Islu de Rabbi Yitzchak. The halacha that Rabbi Yitzchak told us. Dom Rabbi Yitzchak teaches us. Adam osu l'mashmeh v'kisa v'kal shah. Somebody, people, this is going to be a principle we're going to learn in Masechet Bava Metzia, that people constantly are checking the packet. What does it mean? They're constantly checking the packet. They're making sure that they didn't lose the money. And therefore, if somebody's money was lost or stolen, he will become immediately aware that that's what happened. My love, isn't it talking about, and then when it's returned to his pocket, he'll also know that it's returned to his pocket. Why? Because we just learned, Adam osil mashmish kisa koshal. People are constantly checking the packet. My love, besela, ladas, isn't it talking about a case where the money was stolen and the owner is aware that it was stolen because he's constantly checking his pocket? Upplukta, and the machlokes of Rishmol and Rabbi Akiva is the same machlokes as Rav Shmuel. Rishmol says that you don't have to have das balim, you just return it. That he holds like Shmuel, that whether the geneva was ladas or whether it was shloi ladas, giving it back is good enough. Rabbi Akiva, who held that you need to have das balim, holds like Rav, that by geneva ladas, you have to let the owner know that it's being returned, and anything less than that will be inadequate. Says the Gemara, loy. The machlokes of Shmuel and Akiva is not in a case where you stole ladas. The machlokes is besela shloi ladas. If somebody stole something without the owner knowing it, ubeplukta, the machlokes is actually the machlokes of Rav Chisda and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Shmuel holds that where you stole from, you have to just give it back. You don't have to ever have das balim. That holds like Rabbi Yochanan, that by geneva shloi ladas, you don't need to do anything, just put it back. Rabbi Akiva holds that, like Rav Chisda, that by geneva shloi ladas, you have to have, as we just finished explaining, Rav Chisda's opinion, you always have to have das balim. Our Gemara just taught us the principle that Rabbi Yitzchak says, Adam osu l'shamish b'kisa b'kol shah. And I saw that the Mefarshim explained, if by money, which is gashmius, the Rav Yitzchak establishes a principle that people are always concerned in making sure that they have what belongs to them. So certainly, when it comes to Divrei Torah, which are more valuable than anything else that we have, the only way that a person can be confident that what he has, the Torah that he has, he's going to hold on to and not learn, is by not forget, is by constantly reviewing what he learned. There's a famous story that was Reb Zalman, was the brother of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And somebody once saw him learning a Gemara, and he saw him reviewing the Gemara no less than 30 times. And then, a little while later, so the person assumed he wants to certainly know the Gemara that he's learning, and the only way he can be sure that he's going to learn, that he's going to remember what he learned, is if he learns it 300 times. A little while later, he said he met him, and he was again learning that Gemara, and he was reviewing it 30, 40 times. So he asked him, when you learned it the first time, I understood that you learned it so many times to be confident that you're going to understand and remember it. Why are you doing it again? So he says, if our Gemara just told us that Adam Osil Shmashmash Kisi Kol Shah, money, I'm constantly making sure that I don't learn, that I don't lose my money, how could I not treat Torah the same way. I certainly have to constantly be thinking that I should chas v'shalom not forget my learning. And I saw an explanation that the simple pshat in this discussion is that what he was trying to show, that he was trying to make sure that he won't forget his learning. But it's sort of difficult to explain it that way. It's difficult to explain it that way. A person who is such a great Talmud Chacham presumably doesn't forget his learning so quickly. So rather, the way to understand the story is that we want to show a chavivus. We want to show a great love to our learning. How do we show a love to our learning? The way we show a love to our learning is that by constantly reviewing it. So there's a whole new pshat. Adam, I'll say l'mashmash kisa b'kol shah, a person is constantly checking his pocket. What it means to say when we learn that adam osel l'mashmash kisa b'kol shah, what it really means to say is that you love your money. And since you love your money, you want to make sure you have it. You want to make sure you haven't lost it. So if you want to make sure by your money that chas v'shalom you don't lose any of your money, how much more so must we be concerned by Torah to show how much we learn, love our Torah and we don't want to ever forget it. I'm Rav Zvid Mishmei the Rava. Begonim Rishos Baalim, when somebody stole something from where the owner had it, Kul Olam Pligi, everybody will agree with Rav Chisda that Gnevish Loy L'das requires Das. For Hocha, here we're speaking about B'shoy Mishiganim Rishusoy. If somebody took something that was left by him and he put it somewhere else, and now he wants to return it, Yachs L'makom Shiganim K'mifgi. Is it enough to take it, put it back where he took it from? Rekiva Sovar, when the Ganav stole something, what happens halachically is Kos Loy Shmirasoy. His role as a shomer ends, and therefore the only way that the shomer knowing that he put it back is inadequate. He has to therefore take it back to where it belongs. Shmuel Sover, once he returns it, as long as he now does what he's supposed to do, he continues being a shomer. And therefore, when he puts it back from where he took it, that was all that he was supposed to do. There's a machloikis harishonim, how to understand the opinion of Rishmo. Doesn't mean that it means that he never lost his position as a shomer, or doesn't mean that he lost his position as a shomer, but now when he puts it back, he returns to that proper position. Says the Gemara, Lamer. So Lamer suggests the Gemara, this machloikis, minyan poiter, if just counting is enough to be considered adequate as shlava, tanaihi. It says the Gemara, perhaps it's a machloikis tanoim. The Tanya, the Brisa says, havgoizos chaveroi. And this is a very important case where somebody stole something from somebody else and he wants to do what's right. He wants to return it. But he's embarrassed to admit that he stole. So what he does is he buys something from the victim whom he stole from and he pays back more than he was supposed to. Tanya Cheda, one Bryce says that he fulfilled the obligation of Hashavas Kazela, but Tanya Yidach, the other Bryce says lo yotze, he hasn't fulfilled. Says the Gemara Savrua, and again the Gemara establishes that everybody presumably holds the Kulam Islu Rabbi Yitzchak. Everybody agrees with what Rabbi Yitzchak taught us. Dama Adam Oslo Mashem Rikisa because Shav Shah. People always are aware of what's going on. My lab, Al Kamilski. And what is the Machloikis? The man Dama Yotzer says, Minyan Piter, as long as you got back and you counted your money and you got back, that's going to be enough. Well, man Dama Shloya Lo Yotzer, that it's inadequate, Sav a Minyan and a Piter. Just giving it back to you would not be adequate. Amri, Isferlon, says the Gemara, if we hold like the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, the Kol Amalai Pligi, everybody will agree, the Minyan Poiter. Because since Adam Oslo Mashmash Kisei Kol Shah, you're certainly aware that you got it back. Rather, says the Gemara, the Machloikis here is exactly the Machloikis do we follow the, do we accept the principle of Rabbi Yitzchak? El b'Rabbi Yitzchak k'mafki. Mar, the Tana says that it's good enough, Islay Rabbi Yitzchak, concurs with Rabbi Yitzchak. Amar, the Tana that says just putting it back is not going to work, less Lay Rabbi Yitzchak. V'bay Sayim the Kulam Islay Rabbi Yitzchak, we could explain that everybody agrees with Rabbi Yitzchak. V'loy Kasha, ha, the money, Ramalei B'Kisei. When the person gave back the money, I saw that the person counted his money. So since a person counted his money, so now he knows it's back. For hard the money for Rambal Yade. When he put it into his pocket, and here he didn't put it into his hand. He only put it into his hand. And people don't necessarily count what's in their hand. If you buy Sema. Another way of explaining the machlokes is idi the money of Rambam b'kisei that it was put into the pocket of the victim. Hard to islay zuzeh chrin b'kisei, but if he has other money in his pocket, so he doesn't pay attention, and therefore he won't know they got back his stolen money. Hard to leslay zuzeh chrin b'kisei if he has no other money in his pocket. Obviously, where does the money that came to my pocket come from? The money that was stolen was returned. And that's why it's considered a good Hashavas Gezeila. Ain loichim in a roim. One may not buy from a shepherd, tzemer, wool, chal of milk, gedayim, or sheep, or animals. We always need to be concerned that what's being sold are stolen objects. Av loichim in a noshim. We're allowed to buy from women, klit tzemer be Yehuda, the klit peshtin be Galu. People, women, don't usually work with these materials. So we could assume that if they're selling them, it's because their husband asked them to sell. It's because the husband asked them to sell it. And that's the Pashup Shat that the Mishnah here is speaking about women. The Meiri explains that the Mishnah is going back to the Royim. And we're saying that even though objects that the Royim get, we have to be concerned that what they're selling is stolen goods, but if it's something that they don't work with, then we could buy it from them. Says the Mishnah further, Agolim B'Sharim, again, way the Pashup Shat is you could buy a golem from women, or the Mishnah is saying that a golem so much what people do business with in Sharon, so we don't have to be concerned that if the Royim are selling us a golem, that they're stolen a golem. The Kulan Sha'amru Lahatman, in all the cases when I buy something, the person who told me who I'm buying from, please put away, keep hidden what you bought, then the halach is that it's a sign that what they're selling me is a stolen goods, and I'm not allowed to, in those circumstances, buy it from him. That's the way the Rambam learns. The Meiri explains that if the way the person was selling it to me was in a surreptitious way, he went to the corner, he wasn't prepared to do this publicly, why are you not prepared to sell what you're selling publicly? It must be that it's a stolen item. We could buy them in any place. And the Rambam says that not only in any place, from any person. And the Meiri explains that since these are items that are cheap, so nobody's going to steal such item. So we don't have to be concerned that they're stolen goods. But says the Meiri, if even on these items, if we see the way the person is selling it to us, he's trying to be conceal it and be quiet, that should raise a suspicion. Tanabana elokim lemon aroyim, loy izim, loy gedoyim, loy gizim, cut wool, loy tlushin shotzemer, pieces of wool that are cut in small pieces, av lochman tfurim, neshen shalhem, because if there was already woven together, so even if it was stolen, chas v'shalom, but as we learned, there was shini rishus, it was changed from wool into a piece of material. Lachman Gvina Chol of Gvina Bemidbar. We're allowed to buy all these different types of item because the owner lets the roya have them in the midbar. However, v'loy be yishuv. In the yishuv, it's expected to be given to the owner. V'lachman abav chamishet zayin, abav chamishet zizin. You can buy four or five animals or four or five pieces of wool. Avloy shtei tzoin, v'loy shtei gizin. Yudaimer, baisis loichemhem, domesticated what animals we could buy from them. Those are animals that the owner is aware of, and therefore if they were stolen, the owner would be aware, and that's why the roya doesn't steal them. Midbarius, but the animals that are out, the owner isn't aware of those animals, and therefore ain't like when we can't buy it. Klal shadavar, and the Mishnah and the Gemara gives us a rule. Kol sharoy mecha bal bayis magishba. If you buy something and the owner will be aware of it, then lechemhen, because the person would not sell it if it wasn't his, because he knows he's going to get caught. Kol ve'ei magishba. If you buy something and the owner won't be aware that you bought it, then ain lechemhen, because it might be a stolen item. And the Gemara goes now into analyzing the brisa. Amamar, says the Gemara, Lechman Abav Chamisha Tzoyin, Abav Chamisha Gozen. So ask the Gemara, Hashtu Yishloima Abaz Veninen, if we just learned that you're allowed to buy four Chamisha Mabaya, of course five, because it's even more noticeable. Amrav Chizda, what Rav Chizda says, that you're allowed to buy four, what the Tana means to say is, Arba Matai Chamisha. If a person had a herd with five animals in it, you're allowed to buy four of those five animals. Because nobody can get away of selling 80% of the herd and not get caught unless it's really his. Vikadamri, Amrav Chizda, Arba Meva Cotton. When it's a small herd, you could buy four, because four is already enough of a number that the owner will notice that something is missing. Chamesh made the gadol. When it's a big herd, five is the amount that will be noticeable. Hagufa kasha. So ask the Gemara. Amrit, you just said Arba v'chamisha tzoyin, Arba v'chamisha gezen. So we learn Arba v'chamisha in shalosh loy, three nat. Em seifa avloy shtei tzoyin hashlosh zavinen. Says the Gemara loy kasha. Ha, the seifa that seems to say that you could buy three is briyosai, the healthy animals. And there's the type of animals that the owner will notice if they're missing. Ha, the resh that says you can't buy three, b'chishusai, weak animals. When they're weak animals, it's not going to be something that the owner will notice. We just learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, Bais is lochemhen, Mibarius ain't lochemhen. So ask the Gemara, how do we understand what Rabbi Yehuda just said? Rabbi Yehuda, reshikai l'chumra, or Dilma, a seifa kai l'kula. The Gemara explains its question. A reshikai l'chumra, Dama, the Tana says, l'chumen abav chamisha tzoyin. You're allowed to buy from them four or five tzoyin. And that, says Rabbi Yehuda, hani mili basis, when am I allowed to buy from them that number? Only by sheep that are home and the owner is aware of them. Avim midbarius, sheep that are out, and the owner is not familiar with them, I feel arba v'chamisha loy. That's one way of understanding Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. A dilma, the way to understand Rabbi Yehuda, is a seifa koi ulakula. Damar, the Tan in the Braisa said, loy shtei tzoyin v'loy shtei gizim, you're not allowed to buy from them too, because the owner won't notice that they're missing. And that, says Rabbi Yehuda, when is that halacha said that you can't just buy two? Hani mili midbarius ava baisis, if they're at home. So even though it's just only two, the owner will notice. And since the owner will notice, therefore the halacha will be that shtayim nami lochen, I could even buy two. Toshima. So the Gemara brings a raya from the Braisa. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lochen baisis mehen, you're allowed to buy animals that are at home, vein lechem in midbarius, but you may not buy animals that are out in the midbar. Whether it's midbarius or baisis, lechemhen, we're allowed to buy av v'chamisha. Says the Gemara, mid'am, since Rabbi Yehuda says, b'chom makim, says Rabbi Yehuda, anywhere you're allowed to buy four or five, shma mina, what's Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda's coming to teach us a kula, a sefer koi l'kula. The Tanakhama said that you're never allowed to buy just two. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda and says that when are you not allowed to buy two? When it's animals that are not at home, but animals that are home, says Rabbi Yehuda, says the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to buy. And Rabbi Yehuda says if they're home, then the number is irrelevant, and any number can be bought. It turns out Rabbi Yehuda is coming l'kula, shma minah.